Started going off with that bass line. That was great. But weird way to intro, but my name is Ryan. So I'm actually the family pastor here at the River Church. So what does that really mean? That means anything 0 to 28, I get the privilege to be able to kind of lead that within all nine locations. So anything from River Nursery, our River Kids, our River Students, and our River Young Adults. I get the privilege to be able to work with a great team around all of our locations just to see God be glorified. And River Davis, and I do want to take a moment to be able to recognize something. Something really, really cool happened here this week. We had 21 people involved in our River Students here on Wednesday. That's worth giving it up for. That's worth clapping for. So I texted him with Pastor Keaton. He's our Goodrich student pastor, but also he oversees like all of our locations' student ministry. So I texted him. We got a new young man by the name of Brady, who's kind of like stepped forward. He's like, "Hey, I really want to like serve the Lord." And we're like, "Hey, we got an awesome place where we'd love for you to be able to kind of grow." And so I text Keaton on Wednesday night, and I'm like, "Hey, like, dude, how'd students go?" He's like, "I was like, I saw like 11 students checked in." I was like, "Praise God, that's absolutely awesome." He's like, "No." He's like, "We didn't have 11." He's like, "We had 18. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." And he's like, "And then we had 3 leaders there." So again, just to be able to praise God for what God is doing here with our student ministries. But also, I was texting Mark and I'm like, "Man, how do Awana go?" And he's like, "Man, we had like close to 30 with leaders and kids were excited and they're learning about God's word and they're really, really amped up on whatever sugar they got before here." But he's like, "It was super exciting because again, like a lot of our elementary kids learn the simple truth of John 3:16." And I'm like, praise God for that. So honestly, like being here is such an encouragement to know what is going on. And honestly, like looking around, seeing some young adults and seeing some students and seeing some young families, like my joy is to just kind of watch that next generation kind of take the church. So again, I love the foundation that a lot of people have been able to set, but to just be able to see a multi-generational church, even watching what was going on here a couple seconds ago, we had 2 young people with their gifts and their talents, praising and worshiping God. So River Davidson, like again, thank you for blessing me to be able to be here, but thank you for just me being able to see the faithfulness of God. But for us today, as we kind of jump in, I wanted to be able to quickly address something. I don't want to go too much into it, but we live in a world where there's darkness. And I want to make sure that I use wise words here because we have young people sitting in the crowd. But for us, we know that we live in a broken world, but we know the gospel is so good. We know that the hope, love, unity, we know that the work of Jesus Christ is the ever forthright thing that we put in front of us as the church, and we focus on that. And for me, wherever you're at today, whatever political view, whatever opinions you might have, for us to be able to be here to gather and grow closer to Jesus Christ, because we know where our hope is found, we know where life is found, but we also know who is the healer of this world. So for us, let's make sure that we pray boldly in his name. We pray for people who are hurting across the world. But for us as the church, let's continue to be a light for Jesus. So let's pray. Let's see what God has for us this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, and Lord, we know that there's brokenness and darkness. Lord, we know that there are those who will come against us because they came against you. But Lord, thank you so much for your church. Thank you so much for giving us your spirit to just kind of live in us, that, Lord, it can empower us, Lord. It gives us strength. It gives us boldness, Lord. It gives us the ability just to come back to you and find hope. Lord, for us today, Lord, just thank you so much for what you're doing here at the River Davidson, Lord, because, Lord, what you're doing is a mighty work here. I pray that you continue to work that work out, Lord, because we know that you'll bring it to completion. But, Lord, allow us to be your church. Not to be caught up in ideologies or opinions, Lord, but allow us to just be full focused, fully committed to growing in your word, Lord, and ultimately making sure that people know you. So Christ, be with me today, Lord. I pray that nothing comes out of my mouth that is not from you, Lord, but I pray today that the River Davidson leaves encouraged and steadfast and wanting to run after you. So Christ, we love you, and Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful and powerful name. Amen. So here at the River Church, every fall, every January, I say for the most part, because if I turn around and say every fall and every January, it's recorded and somebody will come to me and be like, "You said every fall and every January," because if you know anything about the river, sometimes we change the plan. But for us, we really try to make sure we take time to really focus on the vision of the church. So for us, you'll see it kind of like, again, I'm looking at a giant, beautiful piece of art that somebody put where they put reach, gather, and grow. And they kind of put like arrows behind it because we believe what Jesus has called us to do is to reach the world, to gather with the saints, and to grow in God's word. So this wasn't just something that like a bunch of pastors got together and were like, hey, let's figure out a easier and more clean way to explain Jesus's words. That's not the point. That's never what a church should ever do for a group of people to be like, hey, let me really tell you what Jesus is saying. Like, just let Jesus's words be Jesus's words. Amen. Thank you for that. But for us, like, I don't know what truth was just learned at that moment, but I think we could end the day for the moment. But yeah, we should never be in a point where we turn around and we're like, hey, I know this is what Jesus said. Let me make it easier. Let me make it simpler. Like, we can explain it. But for us as a church to ever get in a place where we're going to say, hey, Jesus, this is how your church should lead, that's not what we do. So what do we do here at the River Church? We take Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and we put it into practice. We put it into principle. We put it into priority. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it reads, and Jesus came to them, he was talking to the disciples, and said to them, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I love that. Jesus is rightly saying, hey, like everything, I'm completely in control. I sit on the throne. There is nobody who has authority anywhere except for me. And praise God for that absolute truth right there. But Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always, and I am with you always to the end of the age. And I love that. All the authority of Jesus. Jesus is establishing authority. And at the very end of the Great Commission, he says, don't worry, I'm always with you. For those of you who are perfectionists, you can't mess up God's church because he says he's with you. He already said he had authority. And I love that. So for us, what do we do on this side of eternity? What do we do as the church? We need to take Jesus' command here in the Great Commission, and we need to put it into practice. And I think every church puts this into practice in some different way, but what do you see? You see, go therefore and make disciples. That's a call to reach. So when we do things like our trunk or treat that's coming up very soon, what do we want to do? We want to invite the entire neighborhood. We want to invite every person that we possibly know to come to the River Church Davison. For what? Well, it's not for candy. It's not for prizes. It's not to see how awesome our trunks are. Now, those are wins, but that's not the point. The point is because we get to stuff this auditorium from wall to wall. If we could go ceiling to ceiling or ceiling to floor, we would. But we want to have as many people as we possibly can. Why? To hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. To hear that Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, died on a cross for our sins, for the world's sins. And he reclaimed us. He brought us back. He repurposed us. He bought us at such a high price. And we want to be able to tell every single person that they can have a relationship with the living God. That's why we reach. That's why we do things like evangelism. That's why we want to be a group of people that's shining a light into darkness. That's why we want to love the lost. So for us, when we read that command that Jesus says, go therefore, we do that. It's not just go therefore by events. Let's go therefore and make disciples. It means when somebody shows up, we actually got to start a relationship with them. I love Name Tag Sunday. It's the biggest cheat in the world because I get to know people's names. Because I don't remember people's names, but it's really easy for people to remember my name. But what, go therefore and make disciples. We actually know somebody. We actually know their name. We know their story. We know what brought them here, and we want to be able to say, hey, God loves you. We want to reach more than just the people who are coming to a church gathering. We want to go find those who don't know Christ. And I love that Jesus starts with that. He doesn't say, hey, get together and let's grow in God's word and let's gather together. No, he starts with, hey, let's go reach the lost. Let's go reach those who really, really, really need this truth. Because we live in a rough world. We live in a broken world. But for us, we believe this as the River Church. We want to be able to reach the lost because they're the ones who need the message of Jesus so much. But then we go on to that baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times people are like, oh, we just baptize. But when you baptize in kind of public assembly. You baptize in front of everybody. So with us, when we look at when Jesus says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what is baptism? It's public profession of Jesus. So what are we doing here right now in our gathering? We're publicly professing Jesus. We do that by serving. I don't think anybody wakes up on a Sunday and been like, you know what, it's 10 o'clock, I got to go make coffee for somebody else. We do that in the name of Jesus. Hey, I got up and I want to play on a computer. Jesus, hey, I got to get up and I want to sing. Now, some people really like singing. I mean, I probably was rocking out some Disney tunes on my way here. May or may not have been doing that. But again, I love singing as well. But what do I love to do? I love singing. Why? Professing who Jesus is. Now, let's not even talk about the nursery ministry. Because those are some long-suffering individuals. Because again, who gets up and be like, you know what I want to do? I want to go watch somebody else's kids. This is a great time for a JTT push. If y'all ain't serving, the nursery needs you. But it's one of those things. Why are they willing to wake up early? They show up. Why are they willing to go be in the nursery? It's not just to watch kids. It's because we get to profess who Jesus is to the youngest of believers. We get to build building blocks. We get to start stages. Like one of my favorite things is my youngest son, he's 4. He walks up to my wife this week and I have no idea what prompted it. He just like walks up to my wife. My wife's doing the dishes, and he's like, hey, Mom, did you know that Jesus died on a cross for us? She's like, yeah, I did know that, Jed. Thank you. And he's like, did you know he rose 3 days later? She's like, yeah, I did that. And he's like, okay, love you, Mom. And he just like scooted off. And for me, like I thank every single nursery worker ever because, again, why are we doing what we do here on a Sunday? Because we're publicly professing Jesus. And all that we do, from song to preaching, everything. And then we got the last thing where he says, and in teaching them all that I observed and I have commanded you. And we'll talk more about this next week. But to grow in God's word, so very important. Just talking to somebody today, like again, like not just like, hey, I came to church and man, what the pastor kind of like cooked up was really good. Like actually taking the Bible and reading it when you go home. It's one of the most beautiful things about the word of God is you literally can go read God's word when you go home. You can find a truth for yourself, and you can grow in your likeness. You can grow in your knowledge. You can grow in your sanctification. So for me, when I read Reach, Gather, Grow, I love all levels of Reach, Gather, Grow because it's found in the Great Commission. But today we're going to be focusing on that second thing that's gather. And River Davis, and I'll be completely honest, whenever I get the opportunity to preach Reach, Gather, Grow, I love preaching Reach. I love the ability to challenge the church to actually leave their comfort zone and go talk to those who are lost. Because at one point in my life, I was lost and I needed people to teach me, to show me, to love me, to kind of walk with me. I love teaching grow because I love watching what God does when people grow in their walks with God. But then there's always gather. And gather is always difficult to me strictly because it's more about a target audience. Because those who are here, who are gathering right now with the saints, you're already here. You already value what is going on here. You already value the public professing of Jesus. You already value the public and the corporate worship of Jesus. So when we look at, again, gather, the target audience isn't necessarily you because you came here this morning. Even if you got drug here, and if you got drug here, turn around and look at the person who said, hey, we need to go to church and say thank you because it's great that you're here. But for us, even if you're here, even if you got pushed a little bit out the door, praise God. Because this is the best thing you could do this week. Because you came to worship the living Savior. But for us, the easy grab is always Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. It's always the easy one. Borderline, the public shaming of this verse that happens, like, oh, you skipped a gathering, oh, you're neglecting to meet together. Sometimes life happens, sometimes we can't make it. But that neglecting to meet together, we're never supposed to neglect meeting together. But he says, and in the habit of some. Again, the most passive-aggressive thing for us to like read to people when we haven't seen them in a couple ways, like, oh, Some of you have the habit of missing. Like, what are you doing? And like, encourage somebody when you see them. Talk to them. Like, hey, life could be rough. It's okay to be like, hey, what's going on? Don't turn around and drop Hebrews 10:24 on them. Just ask what's going on. But we do have to look at God's word. It says, don't neglect. But I love this. But encourage one another as we all the more as the day drawing near. What's that day that we're talking about? The day that Jesus comes back. So for us, when we look at this, again, if you're here, you value gathering. If you're a young person, and again, you got brought by your parents, praise God, you got good parents to bring you to a gathering. If you're here and you got pushed by your husband or your wife, praise God, you got a good spouse. But for us, like that struggle for me has always been like that moment where you're like, okay, what do we preach on here? Because I can't go talk to the person who's neglecting. Because, hey, what's going on, man? Why aren't you coming in? Is life rough? Are you afraid of something? Is the spirit inside of you just kind of like, it gets like a little bristly around people who are actually worshiping God? But today I get the opportunity to talk to people who value gathering. Because you're here. So what is it that I can really land on? I started praying this prayer to God over and over, and I kept reading the book of Romans, and as I kind of like kept pressing in, I kind of landed in Romans chapter 14 and Romans chapter 15. Now, I'm not going to preach through two chapters of the Bible, but to set the kind of the stage, if you want to go to Romans chapter 15, let me kind of like set up what Romans chapter 14 was. So in Romans chapter 14, God's word, moreover, through Paul, starts writing and discussing about the importance of a united church. Now, when I say united church, like again, we can look at this in denominationally, we can look at this locationally. I'm going to kind of like go in between both of them. But when I talk about a united church, what do I talk about? I talk about those who profess Jesus Christ as Savior, those who have been baptized. You're the church. Now, I'm not going to get into denominational lines. I'm not going to say this denomination is better than this denomination or this translation is better than this translation. I'm talking about us as believers. Us as that royal priesthood. Us as those who have been redeemed and saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are his church. We are a part of his bride. And what are we meant to be? We're meant to be united. We're meant to walk with each other. We're meant to be with each other and walk in unison. But the reality is in Romans chapter 14, go figure, Paul illuminates a truth that existed in Paul's day. And go figure, people didn't always see eye to eye, even back in Paul's day. Shocker. Sometimes the church, people, disagree with people. Sometimes people view things that other people are doing and they say, guess what, that's wrong. So in Romans chapter 14, Paul kind of illuminates like people were judging. People were actually causing other people to stumble. People were turning the kingdom of God into more matters of conscience and preference rather than actual gospel. They're taking like pet peeves that they had and they're elevating them. So in Romans chapter 14, like it's tough because you start seeing Paul say like, hey, you guys are not united. You're looking down on each other. You're stumbling over people. You're turning things that aren't really important into things that are important. Well, let's be real here. Churching is hard. You walk into a place, you're worshiping, you love the Lord, you're passionate about it, and then somebody might agree or disagree with something that you do for the Lord. That's tough. Because the reality is we all have differences. We have different personalities. We have different preferences. We have different passions. That can create kind of some tension. We're all unique. I'm not an individual who sings. Not an individual who gets up and plays a musical instrument. I don't have that skill. I don't have that ability. But we're all unique. You're unique. God literally says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, greater as works. Like he made you the way he made you. Whether like it or not, again, everybody, life would be so much easier if everybody thought like you, right? Everybody would be so much easier if everybody responded like you. But the beauty is that's not how Christ made us. That's not how Christ made the church. But we have different gifts. We have different talents. The reality is also the thing that makes us different is the sum of your life experiences, whether they be triumphant or whether they be tragic. They're different. So the way that you respond to something might be different. I respond to like high-level stressful situations. Like it's the most smooth level. I'm great. My wife, not so much. Something goes bump in the night, she's freaking out. I hear something go bump in the night, I wake up and I'm like analyzing the situation, like walking around the house, because I'm calm, I'm good. But through the differences of our life experiences, we're different. Not one's better, not one's less, but we're different. And the reality is also with all of this, with all of our differences, with all of our uniquenesses, with all of our, again, trying to be united, the reality is there's also this thing called sin. There's also an enemy that's trying to destroy and defame and twist every good thing that the Lord Jesus is trying to do. So let's go back to that truth. Churching is hard. It's difficult. It's one of those things where in Romans chapter 14, when Paul's kind of like hitting this, like, hey, here's all the things that are going on. Like, hey, we got to be united in this. And I think we all can feel that in a little bit. We can all think that in a little bit. So what do we do? And as Paul's going in Romans chapter 14, he kind of, again, I don't love the, hey, chapter 14 is one subject, chapter 15 is one subject. Like, you got to read the Bible in its like entirety. So don't just stop at chapters. Don't just stop at the margins. You got to keep reading. But in Romans chapter 14, and then Paul goes into Romans chapter 15, and he's kind of wrapping up his topic about unity. And then Paul just breaks out like into a prayer in the middle of this conversation about unity. In my heart, my eyes, like everything has been like just fixated on these verses. So in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 5, if you've got your Bibles, feel free to join us. If not, it will be on the screen. But Paul's prayer, he says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, and according with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I love this because, again, Paul, if you're ever reading Paul and you're like, hey, why are we here? Paul would literally, like, he'd be writing something, instructing people, and then all of a sudden he just, like, busts out. It's called doxology. It's like worship. Like, he just busts out prayer. He just busts out, like, a worship song in the middle of him writing. So he's talking to the church, like, don't look down on each other. You're the younger brother. You're the older brother. Hey, make sure you don't turn the gospel into something that you don't want. Then he's just, like, all of a sudden just praying. One of the best writers ever, because like, you can just tell he's just, like, in the spirit in that moment. But in this moment, while Paul's talking about, hey, being united as a church, he breaks out this prayer. And I've been breaking this apart, putting this back together, and I've been looking at this through the lens of a gathering. Again, a gathering. It's a group of people publicly professing the realness of Jesus Christ. And this is something that I hope everybody who knows Christ can push into today. Something that I hope that you could leave with. This is something for this season that can kind of change your behavior or change your frequency or change your eyes and just being able to look at different people. But when you look at these three verses, Romans 15, verses 5 through 7, I felt that there are three truths that came out of it. So the first truth was in Romans chapter 15, verse 5. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and according with Christ Jesus. So one of the things that we got to understand is where unity, where does that come from? Where does harmony come from? Where does that tight-knit church, where does it come from? The second truth I really looked in is the purpose of unity. When we have unity, what do we turn around and do? And I love this verse more and more this week, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been living in verse 6 for a long time this week. But then there's verse 7, I love it. And therefore, and again, you start seeing the results of this unity. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So the first thing, what do we see is where unity comes from. In verse 5, it reads, again, may the God of endurance, you might see steadfastness, if you had a different translation. So may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus. So for me, I love this verse because so often when we read in the Bible words like endurance or encouragement or love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, like we start reading these attributes. And what is our first response? We just try harder to be those things. So if we read something like, hey, I know I got to be more steadfast. I got to have more endurance. I got to keep going. I got to push myself. Like, what do? We just muster ourselves to try harder. That's not what the verse is saying. Hey, if we wake up one day and we're a little bit down, we're a little bit mopey, we're a little bit downtrodden, we read the news and we just feel like nothing good is happening, so why do I keep doing good in this world? So instead of actually looking at that verse, what do we do? Like, yeah, I gotta be encouraged. So we dig deep and we try to encourage ourselves. That's not what this verse is saying. We can't just walk around and have in our churches a mentality that we're just going to try harder to be more like Christ. I'm just going to work harder. I'm going to think better. That's going to bring about a change. Like those of you who are married, you know this. Like if you just had that fight with your spouse and you're like, I'm going to love you more. Like, it doesn't work. Your kids just broke that toy that they just wanted. And you're like, I'm going to have patience. The Lord gives patience to those who ask for it. No, that's not what it is. You can't just like avoid situations. You can't just try harder. I absolutely love this verse because, again, the truth that we see in this verse is that God is the giver of steadfastness. He's the giver of endurance. He's the giver of encouragement to believers. It's not something that we can muster on our own power. And even if it is like, hey, I mustered it on your own power, that means that the limit of your endurance, the limit of your encouragement is only found in you. Or we go to the one who's unlimited, the one who is infinite, the one who is infinite in power, and we rely on him to give us that encouragement. We give us that endurance, because Paul is not telling believers just to pull themselves together and work towards these qualities, but he's rather saying like, hey, you need to begin rejoicing in God. You need to be focused on God and focused on the one who gives you everything. And I think so often we forget this as Christians. We just try to do it ourselves. We're going to muscle it up. We're going to get through. We're going to grit. We're going to bear it. We're going to do these things. But that's not what the verse says. In Christian understanding in the church, we need to understand that encouragement and steadfastness are always gifts of God. So often we don't go to them. We don't go to him. You might not be encouraged right now. You might be a little tired right now. But just being like, hey, the program's got to be better, the pastor's got to be better, the building's got to be better, like that doesn't bring encouragement to the church. The thing that brings encouragement, the thing that brings endurance is nothing more than Jesus Christ. But so often, what do? We emphasize, I'm going to do this. It's not human achievement that we're shooting for here. As a church, we fully and wholly give ourselves over to him, and we rely on him to be the good and perfect gift giver. But so often when we look at this, again, we overlook, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony. We forget that, like, grant you. He's the one who gives you. He's the one who supplies to you. So we as Jesus' church, what do we got to do? We got to stick close to the source. If you might not be encouraged during a gathering, you might not be encouraged with where the direction of church is going. I'm not saying like River Davidson, I'm saying the church of Jesus Christ. Again, making sure that we're getting out in the world and sharing his love and shining his light and making disciples. Like, you can't just turn around and say, I'm going to be encouraged on my own power. We have to stick close to the source. We got to stick close to what he's doing. We got to go to the source. Lord, I'm feeling downtrodden. Lord, I'm feeling less than encouraged. Lord, I don't like the way this is playing out. So what do? Dear Jesus, give me eyes. Give me a heart that sees. Like, please help me with these things. So first thing we see is, again, we got to stay to the source. And if we're continually seeking Christ for steadfastness and encouragement, that source, what does it do? If everybody's seeking that, what does it do? It produces something. It produces unity. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, and that together, after we've sought the source, we've stuck close to the source, we've gone after Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this because, again, the purpose is the goal of having one mind, one mouth. Philippians 2 talks about that. By unifying our thinking, our speech, our actions, all that we do, that we're just so in love with Jesus that it's just pouring out on us, that all we want to do is live for Him and know Him and continue that process over and over again. Then what do? We audibly glorify Him. We can't stop helping ourselves but to talk about His goodness. We can't stop talking about His glory. We can't stop talking about His love. And there's something that unity does. When it brings us to a place where we're focused on Jesus, man, that's a momentum thing you can't stop. But the reality is sometimes we don't always get united under seeking Jesus. We get united under other things. Our schedule, our time, our tithe, our talents, our ministry. No, with one voice, what are we doing? We're glorifying God the Father. We're glorifying Christ. Why? Because what do we start seeing is when we're seeking Him out audibly in word and deed, in one voice, in one ravenous loud thing, we're turning around and praising that Jesus Christ is God, that God is good, that all things work out for those who love Him. We recognize the fact that God rescued us when we were still sinners. What else is there to glorify? It's not pain, it's not program, it's not buildings. It's the work of Jesus Christ. And in one voice, I've been praying this over and over, in one voice, even in looking at what's going on in the world right now, I pray in one voice, what is the church doing and how is the church responding right now? They're praising Christ as Lord. I've loved this verse for like the entire week. And then again, a united church that keeps Jesus at the source of our endurance and our encouragement. What do we start doing? We start talking about it. We start singing about it. We start discussing Him. We start praising Him. We don't grumble. We don't complain. We don't start speaking ill of somebody who's sitting like 25 feet behind us. What do? We glorify what Christ is doing, that together, that you with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have differences. Churching is hard. Unity is difficult. But how much better is what Jesus has done for you? Looking out and seeing some young people sitting in the audience, and praise God. Love it. Knowing that there's 20-something kids over there, even if they're being loud, praise God. Because what God is doing here, what God is doing around the world, with one voice, we should be glorifying our Father. And then what happens when we start doing that? We stick close to the source. We're getting our endurance, we're getting our encouragement from Christ and Christ alone. We turn around with one voice because we're so encouraged, because we so want to run after Jesus. We start glorifying Him with everything that we have. And then what happens? I love the word therefore in Scripture, because therefore is always therefore for a reason. Therefore is always the result. If you're doing this, this is what you should see. And in verse 7 in Romans chapter 15, it says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now I love this. What does this mean? I looked at it in two ways. One, people will feel loved and welcomed by your actions because you're reflecting Christ. Now, it's one of those hard things. You're going to love people the way that Jesus loved you. Man, is that a standard none of us can hold? You know you're thinking about that person that you're like, oh, I got to love them like Jesus? Yes, it's difficult. Because man, was He there for you when you were saying the craziest things? Man, was He there for you when you were acting a fool? Man, was He there for you when you were acting far away? And Jesus still was there. That's the standard. And I can look at this, and again, people will feel loved. Again, when people feel loved, what do you start seeing? You start seeing the church grow. You start seeing it grow numerically. You start seeing it grow in Christ. You start seeing, like, again, little ones who are, like, in your kids' ministry. You're like, what in the world are you doing? One day they become, like, the pastors. Like, that's what you start seeing. But I also thought about this in another way while I was praying about it. Well, yes, seeing the church grow and people being welcomed and coming in the doors and they're feeling like they can connect with what God is doing. The one thing that really got to me is that therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. For sticking close to the source, we're glorifying Him in one voice and we're striving for unity. Our actions start reflecting the realness of the gospel. What is the most important thing about a gathering? Should be that pep talk, should be that mid or that beginning of the week thing that you talk about, that you start talking about and you stir one another on for faith and good works, that you talk about how real is the gospel for you. Because if people are showing up to this location, this church, and they're feeling welcomed in the same way that Christ welcomed them, we can get into a whole thing about welcome and guest services, and I don't think that's what this is saying. But what I think this is saying is that your actions begin to reflect the realness of the gospel. Your actions begin to reflect the realness of Jesus. Your actions begin to reflect the realness of the living hope that we have because Jesus' finished work on the cross. Because if somebody shows up, I've never seen somebody turn around and be like, I'm not going to connect into a church. They love me too much. Doesn't happen. Man, I've never seen somebody leave a church because, like, you know what, they walk that sin out with me. You know, they walk that difficult situation out with me and my family. I've never heard somebody leave because of that. I've never heard somebody turn around and look at Christianity and be like, you know what, I don't like them because they're reflecting Jesus. For us, we get the opportunity when we keep close to the source, when we glorify Him with one voice, we get to reflect the realness of Jesus. So why do we focus on gatherings here at the River Church? Why do we want to focus and why do we want to make sure that people understand what they're doing when they show up here? Because on this side of eternity, we are Jesus' plan A on how people will come to know that Jesus Christ is real. You could be the person who gives somebody a handshake in a gathering and says, hey, I'm blessed to see you. And that could be the thing that changes everything for them because they got to encounter the realness and the love of Jesus. You could turn around and be that person who's willing to work in the pre-K ministry. And again, you're giving parents the opportunity to live in a spot where they can continue to grow in Jesus. So one day they actually get to teach their little one who Jesus is. Why do we have people who show up and they work with tech and sound? Why do we have preachers who turn around and they study endless hours to make sure that we can preach well? Has nothing to do with the program. Has everything to do with everything that happens in a gathering is to reflect the realness of Jesus Christ in church. I'm challenging you, do you? Because you're a part of this too. Because we are His plan A. Because in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, He doesn't say came to staff, came to the pastors, came to them. He came to the followers of who was following Jesus. And He says, with all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I love this. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Church, we can't mess this up. Jesus won't allow it. Hey, all authority is mine. And God has put you in the exact seat that God put you this morning. It is not an accident that you're here. You didn't psych God out this morning. You didn't turn around and throw off His sovereignty. You're here for a reason. So if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're hearing the gospel is not true, and you're hearing about, man, like, so I actually can be encouraged. I actually can have endurance because, man, like, it's really tough right now. Because the reality is continually to work this world out on this side of eternity on your own strengths, it's going to get exhausting really quick. But if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the realness of the gospel, if you don't know why people are putting their hands up in praise, if you don't know why kids are coming out with a memory verse, if you don't know why there's a grown man who's willing to get a Gatorade bucket dumped on his head, if kids know their memory verse by the end of the month, like if you don't know the realness of who Christ is, you can know Him right now. It's as simple as confessing that you have sinned. It's confessing that you've walked away. It's confessing that you've rebelled. And it's as simple as saying, forgive me. And professing that Jesus is Lord. And professing that His work on the cross was proficient enough to bring us back to Him. And if you don't know Him, it'd be my joy to be able to help you be introduced to Him. But you can meet Him right now in your seats. But for those of you who are, I'm a believer. You know what? I know him. Maybe the reality is you're just a little tired. You're a little discouraged. Because while churching is hard, life is equally as hard. That's why Jesus says, I will yoke with you. I will walk with you. I will lift the heavy burden with you. But living for the Lord is hard. Because it's not meant to be done on our own endurance. It's not meant to be done by our own abilities, our own tenacities, our own moralities, our own preferences. It's not done by us. But churching is hard if you're doing it on your own merit or your morality. I had to add this one, or your own moxie. I needed three M's in that one. But with it, if you're tired, if you're discouraged, if you're just waiting on God to do something amazing in your life and you haven't seen it, let me go back to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another for love and good works. Because I'm leaving here today and you stirred me up. I'm blessed to be able to see what I saw today. I'm blessed to be able to know what I saw on Wednesday. I'm blessed to be able to know that we had close to 50 some odd students and children here learning about Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to see a row of young people sitting up there. I'm blessed to see that we have so many young parents in the room. I'm blessed to see that we had little children going in the nursery. I'm blessed to see Mark have like 15 boys last I checked and they were running around and he was trying to make sure he was taken care of. I'm blessed to see that people who helped the foundation of this church continue. I'm blessed because the realness of the gospel is here. So maybe we just need to stir each other up a little bit and remind each other exactly how good Jesus has been to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, we go back to this truth over and over again. The Lord, when we see you, Lord, you draw us closer to you. Lord, when we know you, Lord, you reflect the deepest of thoughts and the deepest of intentions, Lord, and you bring it to light, Lord, but you're so forgiving for those moments when we make things about ourselves, about our merit, our own preferences, Lord. Lord, thank you so much that you designed the church to have you at the center, to you ahead, making sure that you're fighting out all the battles, Lord, as you, as the foundation, Lord, because we know as a foundation you will never break. But Lord, thank you so much that you called us all out to know you. But Lord, today, as we focused on gathering, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who's struggling with endurance, Lord, they're not seeing that encouragement of what you're doing, Lord, I pray that they seek you now in worship, Lord, and they just see the glory that you have for the world, Lord. Thank you so much for your majesty. Thank you so much for your beauty. But Lord, for us here at the River Church, as us as a church here in the River Davison, Lord, stir us up to want to make sure that we love each other well. We are united with each other in the cause that you have set before us. To go there for and tell people about your goodness and your realness. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for your love, Lord. But allow us all to join you in worshiping just your greatness. Lord, thank you so much for the joy of heaven that is in your Son, Lord. And I pray that we're all just able to draw close to him right now. Jesus, thank you. We love you. We pray this all in your beautiful, powerful name.